Bibles, please, and turn with me to the book of Psalms. Psalm 46 is where we're going to be today. Psalm 46. Psalm 46, let's begin in verse number 1. God's word says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with swelling thereof, Selah. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. Let me repeat the first part of that verse, and I want you to think about that. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord. What desolations hath he made in the earth? He maketh wars to cease. Unto the end of the earth he breaketh the bow. He cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Father in heaven, Lord, as we come before you, we humbly bow before thy presence. And Lord, we confess to thee that we need thee. In every moment of our day, we need thee every hour. Help us. Be our help and be our refuge. And Lord, I pray if there's anyone here today that's lost and undone, Lord, I pray that they would take all of their burden and all of their sin and lay it at the foot of the cross today. Helping, Lord, to realize that you are the only refuge for all of mankind. Help, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. The Bible tells us in Psalm 65 and verse 5, by terrible things in righteousness wilt thou answer us, O God of our salvation, who art the confidence of all the ends of the earth. In Psalm 118, verse number 8, it says, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. In verse number 9 of Psalm 118, it says, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. Proverbs 3, verse 26, for the Lord shall be thy confidence and shall keep thy foot from being taken. In Proverbs 14, 26, in the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and his children shall have a place of refuge. Ephesians 3:12, it tells us, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by faith of him. In 1 John 5:13, it says, and these things have I written unto you that believe in the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. That speaks of confidence, amen. The Bible tells us in 1 John 5 and verse number 14, the next verse, and this is the confidence that we have of him, if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. In Philippians 1:6, it says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And in Titus 1:2, it says, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. And once again, that speaks of confidence. In Hebrews 6:18, it says, by two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for a refuge to lay hold on the hope that is set before us. I'm glad that we can have, as a child of God, confidence in our Christian life. And yet, it seems like the Christian people of today's day is a worrisome people. We worry about our jobs. We worry about our finances.
We worry about our relationships with people. Some are so worried about getting sick, they make themselves sick by worrying about getting sick. Some are worried about the government. Oh no, what are we going to do? And many of them want to go ahead and run and hide down in their basement or flee to the northern part of Canada and try to escape the government intrusion into our lives. May I remind you that we are to have confidence in our Christian walk. May I remind you that we are to have confidence in our Christian life. You realize that there is nothing too hard for God. We need to understand that regardless of what the government does or how bad the government may become, or regardless of who gets elected in November, we are to be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. We are to be a light into the world, a dark world. We are to be salt in this world. The Bible says a city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. We are to, by the way, the darker the night, the brighter the light should shine. Amen? And we, regardless of what the world is doing and regardless of what your family is doing, we need to go ahead and have confidence in what God has laid before us. This psalm that we just read by Martin Luther was referred to as his Psalm of Confidence. From this psalm, he wrote, "A mighty fortress is our God." What a tremendous song and the words that are in it. He talked about how that regardless of what was happening, and Martin Luther was greatly persecuted by the Roman Church. He left the Roman Church and started the Reformation, and they persecuted him. And he said, "My confidence is in God." The psalm was called by Martin Luther the Psalm of Confidence. And this psalm reminds us who God is, what God has done, and what He will do. I believe as a child of God, listen, you can have confidence in your Christian life. And I believe that as we look at this psalm this morning, it will help you to realize just who God is and what God is doing in your life and what God will do in the future. Amen? And hopefully, as a child of God, you'll be able to leave here this morning and say, you know what? It's been good to be in the house of God, and I believe by what I've heard, I can now go ahead and face tomorrow. You know, it's sad when I hear of Christians no longer can face life anymore, and they take their own life. How sad. I've heard of some preachers in the past couple of years that have done that. Good preachers. Couldn't face life anymore. They forgot who God was. They forgot what God was doing in their life. And they forgot what God is going to do in the future. Yesterday, I was over to little Avery's third birthday party. And there was a bunch of people that had gathered around to celebrate her birthday. And everybody had their little Mickey Mouse hats on and little ears on top of their little hat, you know. And it was pretty cute. And even got Brother Joe to get a little hat on for his daughter. And he was running around with his little dunce cap on, you know, with the mouse ears on it, and it was really cute. And I began looking around. And I looked at all the people that were there. And all of a sudden, the Lord spoke to my heart. None of those people would have been there if I wouldn't have come 26 years ago. And I'm thankful for what God has done and where God has brought me from. I believe that every child of God should live in confidence as they walk through this world with the Lord. And the question may be, why? And this psalm answers the why question. Why can I walk through the world with confidence as a child of God? Now, maybe some of you might be going through a low time in your life. Let me tell you what. If you walk with God, He can give you confidence, regardless of how low the valley is. He can lift you up. He can sustain you, and He can give you strength during times of trouble. I want you to notice the why. If you're jotting down some notes, there's seven things I want to bring you this morning on why you can have great confidence in God out of Psalm 46. Look at verse number 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. I want you to notice the very first reason why, as a child of God, I can have confidence in God, realizing that He does all things well, and as I walk through life with the Lord, I can walk with confidence in my life. Why? Number one, because He knows me personally. God is our refuge and strength. Here the psalmist is saying, He's our refuge. He's our strength. The Bible says in Isaiah 43, verse number 1, But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. Jesus said in John chapter number 10, verse number 27, My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Isn't it amazing that He knows all about us? He knew all about Israel. You ever read throughout the Old Testament the roller coaster ride that Israel had? I mean, one minute they're on top of things, they were serving God, the next minute they were down in the valley worshiping Baal. And then they were worshiping God, and then they were down in the valley worshiping Chemosh. They were worshiping God, and then they were worshiping a multitude of other gods, Ashtaroth. And God still chose to love them. And the Bible tells us, Fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. And in Romans chapter number 5 and verse number 8 it says, But God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I think we need to understand that we ought to have confidence in our Christian walk. As we walk with the Lord, we can have confidence because in spite of you, He still loves you. Amen? In spite of me, God still loves me. I'm thankful for that. Amen. He still chooses to love. I want you to notice verse 1. Look at something. God is. It doesn't say that God was. Only for blessings of the past. It says that God is. That means right now. God is. And God was their strength. He was their help in trouble. He was their refuge. But He is at this point. And since God never changes, in Malachi 3:6, He says that I am the Lord thy God, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. God never changes. And so, therefore, the God that was their refuge is the God of refuge today and will be the God of refuge in the future. Amen? And regardless of what you're going through and regardless of the trials that you're going through, we've got a very present help in the time of trouble. It says, He is. God doesn't change. Therefore, He will be the same tomorrow. I want you to notice it says, our. That personal pronoun, the psalmist is including himself. But he's including all the other children of God. I want you to make that personal this morning. And I want you to read that first part of that. Read the first verse with me. But instead of our, put my. Because the our is including myself. Amen? And read it that way. God is my refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. By the way, I'm not trying to correct the King James Bible. I'm wanting you to understand that the word are means me too. It means Mark too. And it means Rory too. And it means Angela. And it means Brother Abe. It means all of us. God is our refuge. It's all encompassing. I'm glad He knows us personally. May I remind you, there is not a sin too big that God can't forgive. There is not a person that's so far away that he can't call back. When he cried out, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do," that forgiveness is available to all. "For whosoever will, let him come and take the water of life freely." And you may say today, "But preacher, you don't know the things that I've done and the things that I've thought and the things that, places I've been." God knows. He knows all about us, and still He chooses to forgive us. He still chooses to offer us salvation. You see, number one, we can have confidence as a child of God because He knows all about us and He still loves us. Look at verse number one also. It says, "A very present help in trouble." I'm glad that He helps us presently. The Lord helps us presently. The psalmist said in Psalm 23, verse number 4, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for," what? "Thou art with me." The Bible tells us that He is with us. He's a very present help. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter number 5, verse number 7, it says, "Casting all your care upon Him, for He," what? "Careth for you." By the way, if you've got a Bible that says He cares for you, you've got the wrong one. The Bible says He careth for you. Now, anytime you come across that word that has the ETH on the end, it means this. It means it's happening now and it continues to happen. That's why the King James translators did that, because that's what the word means. Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Jesus cares now, and Jesus will continue to care tomorrow, and the next day He'll continue to care, and the next day He'll continue to care, and next month, Brother Abe, He'll continue to care, amen? And God will continue to care for each and every one of us, and He will not quit caring for us. Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. The Bible tells us He's a very present help. A very present help in the time of trouble. In trouble. And the Bible says in Philippians chapter number 4 and verse number 6, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." You say, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to tell you this. That regardless of what we're going through as a child of God, we've got a very present help. A very present help. I want you to notice the third thing. Well, I'm glad He careth. Amen? I'm glad He careth. Look at verse 2 and 3. What's the very first word? And I like what Oliver B. Green said. "Therefore" is always there for a reason. It always points back to what was previously said. What was previously said? The psalmist said, "God is our refuge, a very present help in trouble." Therefore. Because He knows us personally, because He's a very present help, therefore I can understand verse 2 and 3, He watches over us. It's good to know that God watches over us. Amen? Even in the midst of our stupidity, sometimes God watches over us. My wife yells at me all the time for rubbernecking. I'm more of a tourist than a driver. She's over there nodding her head. She's agreeing. I like to look at things. There's times I get in the car, I said, "You just drive, I want to look." And so I'll go like this, and I'll look at the trees, I'll look at scenery, I'll look at everything. I try to do that when I'm driving. All of a sudden she slaps me and says, "Get on your side of the road." I says, "What?" Yeah. Well, every once in a while I do that, and when she's not in the car, I rubberneck. Until all of a sudden there's a semi-truck blowing his horn at me. I'm glad that God watches over us during difficult times. I remember a number of years ago, I was just a young person. I was riding a motorcycle, and I've been riding bikes ever since I've been about 12 years old. And I was in a part of Foster Area I wasn't really familiar with, and I was just kind of buzzing around and just enjoying the day. And I shot across Vine Street, which is one of the busier streets on the west side of town. And I shot right through Vine Street, and I missed the stop sign. And I stopped the bike, and I just realized what I had done. And I pulled off the side of the road, and I just sat there for a minute. And as I went, my car went, and God watched over me. I can tell you of different times when things were real close. There was a time when I was working in a factory. A utility man came and relieved me so I could take my lunch break. I came back and there was a problem with the machinery that we were working on. And I was probably about 130 pounds dripping wet. I know that's hard for you to imagine nowadays. Everybody always said I was so thin I looked like a zipper if I stood sideways and stuck my tongue out. But I was working on this machine, and this guy came to relieve me, and there was a problem with this machine, and it was actually, it had on this big extrusion press, it had a cracked ram, and they said, we're going to close down at the end of the shift. Continue to push on it. Bad mistake. It built up to about 3,000 pounds PSI, and all of a sudden, as this man was doing my job, he told me to go do something else as I was coming back. He bent over, and about from here to the wall away, that piece of machinery blew up, and a piece of steel about that big around flew off that press, hit him in the back of the head, and then bounced about another 50 foot in an opposite direction. He was a guy, a good-sized man, probably weighed about 250 pounds and built like a bull, and it just about killed him. If it would have been me, it would have probably took my head right off my shoulders. And God was watching after me. I'm glad that He's a very present help in times of trouble. And I'm glad that He watches over us. In verse number 2 and 3, therefore, we will not fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with swelling thereof, Selah. And anytime you come across that word Selah, it is actually has a musical connotation. And they used to sing these songs. The book of Psalms is their national hymn book for the nation of Israel. And when they came to the word Selah, they would rest. And they would meditate and think about what was just said. Selah. Think about this. Pause and meditate. God's our refuge. Regardless of how troubled the world may get, He's our very present help in trouble. He watches over us. Verse number 2 and 3. In John chapter number 6 and verse number 37, all the Bible says, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Well, that's confidence. Amen. Realizing that regardless, God's not going to cast me out. Hey, are you saved today? Amen. Amen. Are you saved today? God's not going to cast you out. Say, oh, I failed God. I don't know what I'm going to do with my life. You go ahead and you pick up the pieces and let God help you pick them up and then go on and serve God. Amen. He watches over us. Hebrews 13:5 says He'll never leave us nor forsake us. In Psalm 84 in verse number 11 it says, for the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. We ought to understand today that God watches over us. That ought to give us confidence. Amen. It ought to give us confidence regardless of the difficult times that we may face, that we can go ahead and walk confidently and hold our head up high, realizing that we serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And then I want you to notice what it says in verse number 4. Remember, years ago, there was a man that sung a song out of this. There is a river that flows from God above. There is a fountain. Beautiful song. It comes from this verse. There is a river. The streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. In verse number 4, it tells us this. the God of our refuge, He's a God that satisfies. There's nothing more relaxing to me, I don't know about you, but to find a nice stream or a nice river that has a little current going through it and just sit for a spell. And you can sit there and maybe throw a line in the water or just sit there and listen. Listen to what the voice of God has to say. The Bible says there is a river. I believe this river is talking about that satisfaction He gives us through the Holy Spirit of God. The Bible tells us in John 7:38, He that believeth on Me, as the Scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. In John chapter number 4 and verse number 14, I believe it is, it says, Whosoever drinketh this water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be a well of water springing up into everlasting life. God is our refuge, and I can have confidence because there is a river that God gives us, and that river is the Holy Spirit of God. And during the times that I'm thirsty and the times that I'm hungry, God can quench the thirsty soul that rages deep inside of me, and He can quench that thirstiness inside of you. He satisfies us. There's nothing more satisfying than walking with God. I've lived on both sides of the fence. And I know what it is to go home and go to bed troubled. I know what it is to worry and to fret. But I'm here to tell you, you walk with God and you understand that He is your confidence. You understand that He does all things well. There is nothing more satisfying than walking with the Lord. Walking with the Lord will produce a satisfaction that the liquor bottle will never create. Walking with the Lord will produce a satisfaction deep inside of your soul that drugs will never match. It'll produce a satisfaction that no fleshly desire will ever dream to satisfy. There's nothing more satisfying than walking with God and seeing how God works. Look at verse 5 through 7. God, what's that next little word? Is. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered His voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. Could everybody say that together with me? The Lord of hosts is with us. Do you believe that today? Amen. I believe that God is with us. He's with us. The same as what the psalmist said years ago, the same is true today. The God, the Lord Jesus Christ, He is with us. It tells me this, verse 5 through 7, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. It tells me He secures us. He secures us. Look at a few passages with me. Hold your place here in Psalm 46. Look at John 5, 24. The Gospel of John, chapter number 5. Look at verse 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth My word and believeth on Him that hath sent Me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. When you accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, He secures you. He passes you from spiritual death to spiritual life. He ends up giving you that eternal life. Wouldn't you know? Thankfully, somebody got it. Most everybody knows the preacher preaches past noon around here. Must be a foreigner. He secures us. He gives us eternal life. We pass from death unto a life. Look at Ephesians chapter number 1, verse number 30. This is so important for you to understand. Ephesians chapter number 1, verse number 13, I'm sorry. In whom ye also trusted after ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom after that ye had believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. The Bible tells us very quickly, Brother Mark, I want you to go to my office and pick up that phone and put it down, please, because something's going crazy in there. It must be the devil trying to get my attention. I'm not going to give him any room, all right? Answering machines. They have to be of the devil. That's the only thing I can say. He secures us. Ephesians 1:13, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth. In whom also ye trusted after ye heard the word of truth. The gospel of your salvation, in whom after you believed you were sealed. The Bible says He seals us. Ephesians 4:30, it says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. You see, He secures us. In 1 Peter chapter number 1, verse number 5, it says, who are kept by the power of God unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last day. Listen, we are kept by the power of God. He secures us. We ought to have great confidence in our God, realizing that He is our security. Who's your security today? What is your security? Your job? Is that your security? Your marriage? Yeah, but what happens when sickness and death comes? So I'm secure in my life, preacher. I've got it all figured out. Yeah. I'll talk to you next year and see how all that's worked out. I'm glad that He is our security. Because He is my security, I can have confidence in my Christian life. Look at verse number 8 and 9. What's that first word in verse 8? The God who is our refuge, the God who is our strength, the God is the one that is the very present help in trouble. The one that is with us, verse number 7. Says, come, in verse number 8. I can have confidence, even realizing He realizes who I am and what I'm like. He says, come. Come to Me. Come. Verse number 8. Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations He hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease in the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. In Isaiah 55 it says, ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye and buy and eat. Yea, come and buy wine and milk without money, without price. Jesus said, come unto Me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take My yoke upon you and learn of Me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest in your souls. Jesus said, come. The Bible tells us in Revelation chapter number 22 and verse 17, the very last invitation in the Bible. And the Spirit and the Bride say, come. Let him that is athirst come, and let him that heareth come, and whosoever will, let him come and take of the water of life freely. You see, He invites us to come. I'm glad the Bible never says, stay away from Me. If it did, it'd probably have My name after it. Followed by your name. He says, come. If you don't have money, come. If you don't have any good works, come. Just come to Me. I'm glad we've got confidence in God. And then finally, notice this, verse 10 and 11. Be still and know that I am God. Let me pause there for a minute. Sometimes we need to just quit talking. We need to quit talking and we need to just listen to God. We need to be still. We need to be still. And just look and see what God has done. Look and see where God has brought you from. Look and see how God is working in your life. Remember before you got saved? You remember before Jesus came? You remember the type of life that you lived? And then Jesus passed by. And all of a sudden things are different. You see, He grants peace. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. He grants us peace. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Psalm 119, verse number 165. Psalm 23, verse number 2. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. What's that all about? He gives us peace. In Isaiah chapter number 9, verse number 6, He's referred to as the Prince of Peace. I want you to look at the very last word of the psalm. Everybody, what does it say? Selah. Pause for a moment. Think about it. I want you to think this morning of what God has done, what God is doing, and what God is going to do in the future. Have you trusted Christ as your Savior? Are you walking with Him daily in His Word? Do you have confidence knowing Him and His works? Do you have confidence realizing that He does all things well in your life? Dear child of God, listen. You don't have to live in fear and worry. As a child of God, we can live in confidence. I've read the last chapter. Amen. We come out on the winning side. Amen. Who's your confidence this morning? Or should I say, what is your confidence? Your confidence ought to be in the Lord. He is the one that ought to give us strength. He is the one that we ought to go through. He is the one that will help us during trouble. Some trust in chariots. But the psalmist said, but I'll trust in the Lord our God. It's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. The Lord is our strong confidence. And we can have boldness and access and confidence by faith in Him. Let's bow our heads, please. Our great confidence. Today, if you're worried, if you're troubled, go to your confidence. Go to the Lord Jesus Christ. He can help you during times of trouble. He can give you that confidence that you need to walk in your Christian life and give you the strength that you need. But today, listen, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you ought to get saved, because without Him, there will be no confidence. As a child of God, you ought to dedicate your life to walk with Him, because you'll never understand your confidence that you can have. Father in heaven, Lord, I pray that You bless. Bless this invitation. May the children of God respond to Thee. And Lord, I pray, may they walk with Thee. May they learn to choose Thee as their confidence and not anything else. Guide and direct. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen.